Our final case this morning is United States against Wallace.
Good morning, Your Honors. Good morning.
Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Stephen Shannon, and I represent Tyrone Wallace. The case is here on appeal because at trial, Mr. Wallace was convicted of being a felon in possession, and the judge at sentencing enhanced the sentence under the Armed Career Criminal Statute, 18 U.S.C. 924E. The issue was he enhanced it because of three. Judge Hibbler decided that there were three violent prior felonies. Now, we're not contesting that there were two. That's the third one, the unlawful restraint, that's an issue here. The judge deciding categorically that unlawful restraint, the crime in Illinois of unlawful restraint, is a violent felony as used in the Armed Career Criminal Statute. The other two arguments that were presented in the appellant's brief, we would rest on our brief, Your Honor, and address strictly the sentencing issue today. Now, under 18 U.S.C. 924E, there are several ways to get to being an armed career criminal. Under Section B2B, under B2B, we have a defendant being convicted of three prior violent felonies. In this case, the one that's in issue was the unlawful restraint. Now, under the statute, if force or harm against potential harm against another, strike that. If force or potential physical injury to another is an element of the crime, then it's a violent felony. Or if it's one of certain enumerated crimes such as arson, extortion, burglary, or the use of explosives, it's also considered a violent felony. But there's an independent clause in Part 2, which is otherwise the conduct which otherwise presents a serious risk of potential physical injury to another person. And that's what I'd like to focus on, Your Honor. The district court ruled during sentencing that the unlawful offense violation categorically is a violent felony for purposes of the Armed Career Criminal Act. And the government would also ask in their brief that this court rule categorically that as a matter of law, is a violent felony. Appellant would ask that considering that there are many ways that unlawful restraint can be affected without force or use of force.
What do we know about the actual risks of the unlawful restraint crime? If you take the category of acts that Illinois treats as unlawful restraint, how many of them end up with somebody being injured?
I don't know, Your Honor.
Isn't that something that might be important here?
Your Honor,
Taylor, when the Supreme Court held that generic burglary mm-hmm. was always a crime of violence, it looked at those data and thought that the answer was important.
I am remiss, Your Honor. I don't know. But I do know this, that if we take the underlying crime of unlawful restraint and we add a threat of force, we get the crime of intimidation, which is a crime in Illinois.
Yes.
And if we take...
We know from the Supreme Court that generic burglary is a crime of violence because... Now, sometimes the burglar encounters the householder and violence ensues. Now, that's the kind of argument that's being made by the prosecutor here, that sometimes the victim resists or sometimes the offender uses force. It would help to know how often that is. Is it the same as burglary, more often than burglary, less often than burglary? And this is something that you don't get the answers out of a case book. You get the answers out of the uniform crime reports, maybe.
I don't have the answer yet.
You're saying that it's not inherent in this crime, as it might be in a burglary where the odds of encountering someone, the risk of encountering someone, would raise that to the presumption it's violent.
That's correct, Your Honor. The way I looked at it.
Well, in this situation, I guess we can't look to the underlying actual facts, whether this was pleaded down to something from, say, an assault and battery.
That is correct, Your Honor. What I focused on was the government raised the example of escape. And escape categorically has been determined to be a crime of violence for purposes of the Armed Career Criminal Act. Escape is always involved the situation of either jail or legal custody. In either of those cases, it's obvious that force is being used, the force of the state, the power of the state, to restrain someone. So that
actually not. Our most recent escape case is somebody who walked away from a halfway house where there was no physical restraint at all. Right? He was given leave to go do his job and just didn't come back at the end of the day. Technically an escape. We held it to be a crime of violence.
I believe you categorically held that all escape is a crime of violence. And certainly there are individual cases that can be found where people just walk away, as in this case, from a farm situation where there's no physical restraint, where there's no physical fence, but I believe the reasoning in that had to do with his potential use of force if he was to be apprehended or to resist being brought back into the system. An unlawful restraint, there can certainly be restraint by deception, by trickery, by fraud, in fact, even by, in perhaps a marital situation, an overwhelming personality, where someone just dominates another person, there's no risk of physical.
You mean if Robert Byrd gives a spellbinding speech in the Senate, so riveting that everybody is glued to his seat, he's committed the crime of unlawful restraint?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I would ask this court, rather than categorically rule that as a matter of law, that the Illinois crime of unlawful restraint is a violent felony, that rather set up some sort of test, some sort of standard that could be addressed where we could look at the underlying crime.
That's the question then. It's either way. Either it's never or always, or else we look at the underlying facts.
I agree.
Well, where are we?
I believe that we should...
You don't want us to look at the underlying facts. I guess we don't know them.
That's correct, Your Honor. I believe that it's inappropriate to categorically rule as a matter of law that because there are so many situations where unlawful restraint can be accomplished without the use of force, without the serious risk of the potential use of force or injury to another, that to rule categorically that it is a crime of violence is inappropriate. But when someone is unlawfully restrained and force is added, depending upon the force and the duration of the restraint, it can rise to the level of kidnapping, unlawful restraint being the lesser included offense. It's lesser because there's a lesser risk of harm to another person. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mr. Bendy.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court. David Bindi for the United States. Your Honors, we think that the analogy to, or the comparison between unlawful restraint and escape is an apt one. This Court held in the Franklin case just last year that escape is a crime of violence because it presents a scenario which is a powder keg, which may or may not explode, but which always presents the serious potential risk of doing so. The same is true of unlawful restraint.
How often? I mean, what do we know about how often unlawful restraint leads to physical injury?
Your Honor, I don't have an answer to that question either.
Don't we need to know that?
I don't think so. Certainly this court in the Franklin case dealing with escape didn't go through an analysis of a statistical analysis of the frequency with which escape results.
One can actually do it. You can look up in the Uniform Crime Reports and see that there are deaths in escape attempts and attempts to make escape recaptures. That's doable. The Supreme Court did this with respect to burglary. But how about here?
Your Honor, again, I'm sorry, I don't have the answer to the question about the frequency with which unlawful restraint as charged in Illinois results in physical injury. But we submit that the district court correctly concluded.
Well, who has the burden here?
The government has the burden.
Since both sides are equally silent, it's a legal question. It's either going to be always or never. Interesting question about who has the burden on the correct classification of an offense. The Supreme Court did not address that in Taylor.
Our submission, Your Honor, is that the district court correctly found that unlawful restraint is always a situation that is fraught with the risk of physical injury. And for that reason, we respectfully request that the sentence and the judgment be affirmed. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Counsel, anything further?
Not necessarily by way of rebuttal, but because this is a case of first impression, and I noticed when I was perusing the Seventh Circuit website, there is a procedure for filing a supplemental letter after argument. I believe Your Honor has stated an important point, especially in the case of first impression, and if it pleases the court, we could certainly counsel the government and myself, certainly.
If you can find data on this, we'd certainly be happy to receive it.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel, and Mr. Shannon, we want to thank you for your willingness to accept the appointment in this case and the assistance you've been both to your client and to us. The case is taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until next week.
Not a real good panel for class actions either.